Think of the little boy that was in the testimony meeting with his grandmother. His grandmother had gotten pretty thrilled about the meeting, and she said, "I've just been filled and blessed, and I'm just running over," and several other people testified about the same thing. And this little fellow jumped up and he said, "I'd like for everybody to know I've had a belly full of this too." I'll tell you, if preaching will get it done, it ought to be done and finished by now. We've had it here. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I have one verse I want to consider with you tonight. If you'll turn to the 32nd chapter of the book of Psalms, I will read this verse. This is my focus tonight. We've been talking about this psalm every night. There are two main emphases in Psalm 32. The first five verses deals with grace, beginning in verse 6 to verse number 11. The focus changes to guidance. Grace and guidance. We need grace. And having received grace, we need to walk and to live in the guidance of God. I want to read my verse tonight, verse 5. Psalm chapter 32. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I want to read a few verses that are friends to this verse. I want to go back to the book of 2 Samuel. Read just one verse. Verse 13 of chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. Last night I alluded to the visit of Nathan to David following his failure and his sin as a leader. I won't reiterate the message of Nathan. I just want to read what David said to him. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. I want to read in the 51st Psalm one other verse of Scripture, all connected with my main verse tonight. Psalm 51, verse 4. against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. The first four verses of Psalm 32, we have considered these thoughts. Verse number one, rejoicing. Verse two, recording. Verse three and four, reflecting. Verse five, repenting. There's some things that lie beneath the surface of this text that are very interesting. Things that people oftentimes have lots of questions about. David is here dealing with sins which he has committed with and against others who are now deceased. People oftentimes ask the question, preacher, the person that I sinned with or sinned against is no longer with us. Can I ever be right? The answer is yes. You don't always have to see the person or say anything to the person that you have sinned with or sinned against. That person is not the main person you need to talk to. If a person is available and willing, sure, it will be helpful if you can go to that person. But if they're no longer available, it's impossible. I grew up going to a little church building made out of white. White on the outside, just a plank building sitting on a red dirt road. We sung this song oftentimes. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. But that was the verse in that song. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone. You don't have to carry a load of guilt and a load of shame just because the person who might have been involved with you or against whom you have done something or someone that has done something to you, you don't have to necessarily converse with them in order to be right with God. To me, that's a tremendous help. That lifts a tremendous burden. I think I've stated earlier in the week, my mission at this stage in my life is to do everything in my power to be sure there's nothing between me and Him. And nothing between me and anybody else. To me, you cannot put a dollar value on that. Beyond seeing and checking up on myself. I want to help everybody I can to get to that same place. So, my message tonight has to do, what does repentance involve? Or, if you want to amplify the question a little bit, what is our responsibility in regard to repentance? Now, we understand that only God can cause one's heart to be repentant. You cannot really make yourself ready. No one else can make you ready. Believe me, in my years of pastoring or pestering, whichever one you want to know, I come to realize I could not make people repent. There have been times I probably made some people sorry they didn't. But that still won't help them any. And it surely didn't help me any. People will do things under pressure that they'll back up on when the pressure moves, which proves the faultiness of the process. Now, I'm not going to scare you. I'm not going to be here long. We've heard enough preaching today. Not going to be long. This is going to scare you. I don't have an 8 points. It's going to be simple. It's so simple. What I'm going to try to do is give a voice to this text. That's all. Now, I want you to look at the text. If you'll help me, we'll go home early. This is Saturday. Go home early. You got to come back in the morning early. How many people are involved in verse number 5 of this text? Say it loud, I can't hear you. We're on the Jericho Road, aren't we? You ever sing that in church? On the Jericho Road, there's room for just two. You remember that? When it comes to repentance, there's just two people involved. You, God. You and God. That's how many you see in this text. I, that's David. Thee, that's God. My, that's David. I said, I will my transgressions. Thou forgavest my iniquity. They're just two people. The preacher don't have to be there. Even the person you may have sinned against or sinned with don't have to be there. It's just two. Two people. Now, I want to say a second word. David recorded and he said, I acknowledged. This is a point in time in the past. I acknowledged. Hey, look. If you don't have a point at which to bury a problem, you'll never get over it. You got to have a point somewhere back there where it stops. He said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Now, you don't acknowledge and open your heart to someone in whom you have no trust. I want just to fast forward over verse 10, just a minute. Pick up a word. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth. That's a very interesting word. The Hebrew word used for trust carries a double definition. First, it means careless. Secondly, it means confident. To trust God means that I am carelessly confident. Not careful, careless. Say, preacher, I don't understand how careless and confident. I don't understand. Okay, let me paint you a picture. I'm not an artist. But I think I can help you with it. You ever see a mother with a small child come to church, maybe the first time? Every mother in the house wants to hold the baby. Is that true? Every mother now wants to hold the baby. The baby can be just as happy as it can be with the mama. But you go to pastor, they be around. First thing you know, there's going to be quite a lot of disturbance. Yeah. But all that must be done to quell the racket, just give the baby back to mama. The baby is carelessly confident in the grasp of his mother. I went to a little Rob shop. You ever been to a Rob shop? You never been to a Rob shop? I imagine you have. They call a lot of different things in a lot of different places. Sometimes they call it a quick shop or a quick stop. Sometimes they're called 7-Eleven. Man over in our part of the country, when I lived in Pascagoula years ago, named Billy Belcher, had such a store. If you went to Belcher's store and you wrote him a check, he didn't worry you with it if it wasn't any good. If it went to the bank and bounced like a basketball, he brought it back and he had a big board and he just stuck a thumbtack in it and let all your neighbors see it. Went in Billy's store one day, and he had a big sign at the cash register. It said this, "In God we trust, all others pay cash." I wouldn't advise anybody to confess your sins to anybody but God. You don't open your heart to everybody you meet in the street. Brother Zeno Gross told us years ago, as a bunch of preachers, he said, "You preachers better remember when you go to talking to other preachers that these other preachers have friends besides you." You better not bear your soul to just any and everybody. But you can carelessly be confident to tell Jesus. Okay. It just takes two. Trust is the atmosphere And truth is demanded. Just the two of you. You're trusting Him. And truth is demanded. There's a couple of verses of Scripture that I won't turn to read tonight. Psalm 116, verse 11. Don't turn there. I'm not going to tarry here. The psalmist wrote, I said in my haste, all men are liars. I was reading an old preacher the other day, and he put a note by that verse. He said, psalmist said, he said in his haste, all men are liars. He said, I've had 80-something years to think about it. I still agree with David. That might hit a note with some more. But there are several verses in the Bible. For example, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, let God be true. And every man a liar. Now when you come to this place of just you and God, truth is demanded. He already knows the truth. We're not coming to God to help God out. We're not coming to God to try to convince God of something. We're coming to God because the burden has become unbearable and we're ready for the burden to be lifted. So let's be truthful. Someone asked me not long back during all this panorama of a pandemic, does it bother you to preach to people with masks? I said, no. I've been preaching to people with masks 50-something years. When you come to this kind of a meeting with God, you can take your mask off. It's just you and God. Just take your mask off. Truth is demanded. This word, acknowledge, is an interesting word. I acknowledged. And what's the personal pronoun following that word? My. I acknowledge my sin. This word, acknowledge, carries with it the idea, I know my sin. And since God is on the other side of the equation, you know God knows because there's nothing He doesn't know. Amen. So, if everybody knows, there's no need to hide. There's no place to hide. Now, this is not just an observation. This means he's taking ownership of what he has done. I acknowledged my sin. And then he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. You see, the mask is off. The T word is transparent. Transparent. We hear that word a lot, but that's a big word. If you want to get your home in trouble, you begin to hide things from your wife or your husband. Your home is going to get in deep trouble. There has to be transparency. No secrets. Once you start hiding things, then you begin to exacerbate your vocation of lying. You see, David committed his sin in secret. But it wasn't long till it became public. And it immediately invaded his relationship and fellowship with God. Transparency. The word hid is significant. Have I not hid? Why didn't David say, Lord, I hid it? Because God had already covered it in verse 1. You see, when God covers it, you no longer have to try to hide. Until He does, you'll probably try to hide it. You see, our sins have to be covered with the covering that God has made. God has installed. We try to cover. I like what the old preacher Duncan Campbell said about Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Duncan Campbell said, don't expect God to cover what you won't uncover.
Wow.
Transparency. Look in the 5th verse again. I said, I will. What's the next word, please?
Confess.
I will confess. Confess what? My transgression. Is transgression plural or singular? Plural, isn't it? Got an S on the end, that means more than one. I will confess my transgressions. So we started out with just two. We come to a place of trust. We're operating on the grounds of truth. We have become transparent. We have nothing to hide. And now we're willing to talk. There's something that happens on the inside when we verbalize. If you have a very, very, very close friend and you are in trouble over a wrong of some kind, if that friend can be trusted at all, and you can confide in them, you'll feel a lot better. But that won't deal with the problem.
No.
You know why? They don't have the ability to cover it.
Right. That's right.
You've got to get to the one that has the ability to cover it.
Yes.
Talk. Talk. Don't talk to everybody else. Talk to the Lord.
Yeah.
You can talk to Him.
Yes.
You can talk to Him. You'll find He's willing to listen. I think about the occasion when Achan in the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua, had disobeyed a direct command of God that out of the city of Jericho nothing was to be taken. Achan had a covetous heart. He saw some things. He took some things. He hid them in his tent. But judgment day is coming. Think about how he must have felt. The heads of families were all there. Joshua began to go tribe by tribe, and then family by family, and then he got on down to going man by man. Didn't take him long to get to Achan. Have you ever read what he said to him? Give glory to God. And make confession. You know what we do when we confess our sins? We say, God, I'm wrong. You're right. That thou mightest be justified. We're saying, God is right. See, we got a world nowadays so concerned about right and left, they forgot there's a right and wrong. There is a right and a wrong. Don't argue with God. Agree with God, which is essentially the meaning of the word confess in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. Homologeo, which means to say the same word God says. God is right. I am wrong. I will confess my transgressions. Transgressions, that's a big word. We saw that word in verse number 1. We defined it as crossing deliberately, willfully, rebelliously over a boundary. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I'm keeping track. We're almost through. How many of us was it to start with? Just two. Then there was trust. Then there's truth. There's transparency. We'll begin to talk. Talk about what? Our transgressions. Lord, I know I stepped over that boundary right there. I want to say this with you tonight. The person that will sin with you will eventually sin against you. Write it down. Person that will sin with you will eventually sin against you. Transgressions. Alright? Look at the last sentence. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I use the word transaction. Forgiveness is a divine transaction based on the foundation that God Himself has required for it to happen. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Forgavest. You have lifted it away You have put it away. You have divorced me from my sin. I put this word transaction/transferred. Meaning, the reason that my sins can be forgiven is my sins were transferred to the account of the Lamb of God who died for our sins and was buried and raised again. And now His righteousness has been accounted to me. Okay. If you let me by with it, I got one more word. That'll be number 8. Number 8, if you look in verse 6. For this, you see, you have this pause and ponder in between. Pronounce it however you want. Selah, Selah, however you want to pronounce it. Pause and ponder. For this, what this? What precedes it? For this shall everyone that is godly pray. How many of us in the room have ever prayed that God would forgive us? We hadn't got enough hands to hold up how many times we have. But it's many. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Isn't that interesting? Time. Time. How many of us tonight are glad that God didn't kill us when He had every right to do it? He gave us time. He didn't give us all of it at once. He just gives us one breath, one heartbeat. But He gives us time. And time is in verse number 6. And I want to put another word into the idea. Not into the text, but into the idea I'm trying to get over to you. There's something to the matter of time and timing. Prophet Isaiah, in his 55th chapter, said this, "Seek ye the Lord, while He may be found. Call ye upon Him, while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Yes. Yes. The clock is running. God is the maker of time. He's the first one that measured time. He holds time. He has time and He takes His time. And He can take yours. If you need to have a personal, private meeting with God, if I were you, I wouldn't waste any more time. I'd get to the meeting ASAP. Thank you for listening. That's my message.